soñar de felicidad. Soy el ritmo del mundo, elegante del pobre suburbio y del bulevar. Vuelvo a Cuba, a Cuba, un poco cambiado, lo sé, con cadencia de bar y popero, pero siempre soy la rumba nacida en el barrio, allí en el solar, donde escucho la voz del rumbero de ayer y el repique del viejo tambor y el calor del aguardiente. La gente caliente se puso a correr.
Taylor Swift's Journey to Fearless. You belong with me. You belong with me. This is a story of a little girl who dared to dream big. From her earliest performances. And we do mean early. To her first big break.
That was my first huge crowd experience. Then I was addicted.
And the challenges along the way.
And I went through periods of time where I didn't have friends. That was tough as a mom to hear the shunning.
She didn't know it then, but even as a kid, Taylor Swift was fearless.
Hi, I'm Taylor. I'm 11. I want a record deal. So give me a call. That would be awesome.
We'll show you everything that went into making Fearless happen and share with you the inspiration behind some of your favorite songs.
It was a song about a breakup that I had to really address.
Come on the road with Taylor for her first headlining tour. Spend the next three nights backstage, on stage, and around the world for Taylor Swift's Journey to Fearless.
You You.
think my first memory of loving music happened so early. We would always go to the beach in the summer, and I would run from blanket to blanket, from family to family, and just sing.
Yay, Taylor!
Whoa!
I got my first guitar when I was 8 or 9 years old. I couldn't motivate myself to learn because my fingers were too small. I always had the guitar around and had it in the corner. And when I was about 12, this magical twist of fate, the guy who my parents had hired to come fix my computer, I'm doing my homework, and he looks over and sees the guitar in the corner, and he was like, "Do you play guitar?" And I said, "Oh, no, I tried, but I, no." He said, "Do you want me to teach you a few chords?" And I was like, "Yeah, yes." That was that. I was just relentless about wanting to play all the time. I was songwriting for all of my free time after that. I think the first full song that I ever wrote was called Lucky You, and it was about this girl who dares to be different.
At that time, that was sort of, you know, describing herself.
I got teased a lot, and I got made fun of a lot, and I, you know, went through periods of time where I didn't have friends.
Because all the other little girls were going to sleepovers and playing soccer, and Taylor wanted to sing on a stage, and that was a little bit different.
Say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
And I stood there in the middle of the giant basketball arena, and with my little sparkly American flag shirt and my white pants and my red headband. I was very patriotic looking. I don't think I had ever been that nervous in my life.
Once again, Taylor Swift.
They would do a write-up in the local paper, causing a not-so-fun day for me the next day at school.
My worst time of the day was when I went to go pick up Taylor at school, and I would know that things maybe hadn't been so great that day at school, and so I knew I was going to hear whatever happened. And so that was tough as a mom to hear the ostracizing that went through, the literally the shunning that would take place at school, where she would sit down at a table with her lunch tray and everyone would move. As a parent, there's nothing more painful than hearing that your child is in pain. You'll take any bullet for them, but you realize that this is also something that they have to go through.
So that's when I got it in my mind that there was this magical place called Nashville where dreams come true, and Faith Hill got discovered, and I thought to myself, Nashville, well, I've got to go there. I begged my parents for, I think, a solid year. Please, can we take a trip to Nashville? Just nonstop. I want to go to Nashville. Just relentlessly.
It was all she talked about. So on spring break, we went to Nashville to go check it out.
Everyone you meet in Nashville has the same dream, and a lot of them wanted to be exactly what I wanted to be, which was an artist and want to be on the stage in front of a lot of people.
Taylor would, you know, say, "That's Mercury Records, pull over. You know, I need to run my demo CD."
I'd get out and I'd run up to the door. "Hi, I'm Taylor. I'm 11. I want a record deal. If you could give me a call, that would be awesome." And I knew that I had to figure out some way to be different, some way to get better and have more to offer. Music was something that was so necessary for me to be happy. I would play for hours and hours until my fingers were bleeding.
She never put it down. She wouldn't put it down. We'd have to literally say to her, "All right, put the guitar down, come to dinner, then you can go right back and play." But it became a matter of forcing her to put it down at that point.
I just fell in love with it.
Moved to Nashville when Taylor had actually been offered a development deal. At that point, we knew we weren't just proud parents, and that maybe we should put her in the area where she could make the most of it.
When I was 13, I landed a meeting with a record label in town, RCA. They gave me a development deal, which is basically like, "We believe in you. Kind of. We're going to watch you. It's not like you're making an album now.
Taylor and I would go in there sometimes once a week with new songs that she had written. They would look at us and say, well, it's getting a little closer. They weren't saying, yes, that's a great song. Let's put it on a record.
At the end of the year, they had a chance to either sign me or watch me for another year without commitment.
They looked at us and said, you know what? We're not ready to offer a record deal.
I did something that you don't usually do in Nashville when you have an in with a record label. I walked away because I had a feeling that I was not going to be able to record my own music that I'd written.
I looked at her sort of panic-stricken, like, this is a major record label. You don't get that every day. Are you sure you want to walk away from this? And she said, absolutely.
I had this showcase at the Bluebird Cafe, ironically the place where Faith Hill got discovered. And I played my guitar and sang a bunch of songs that I'd written. There was one guy in the audience named Scott Borchetta. So he came up to me after the show and he said, I want you on my record label and I want you to write all your own music. And I was so excited. And I get a call from him later that week and he goes, hey, so good news is I want you on my record label. Bad news is that I don't actually have a record label yet. Well, he explained to me that he doesn't have a building. He doesn't have a name for it. He just has this dream that he wants to do it. So he says, will you just please wait for me? And for some reason, I was willing to wait for that.
Because she believed in the person who was going to be running that record label, and he really believed in her.
I knew that if I could be a part of building something from the ground up, of being the first artist on a brand new record label, that would be okay with me as long as I could do something really adventurous and bold and new. So I signed my record deal with Scott Borchetta, and I was making an album full of songs that I had written by myself. This little red thing, this red guy is the best windscreen you got, so they won't hear that. It's awesome. There was no inclination that this was going to work out. But we really believed in it. Putting out my first single was just such a cool experience because I just didn't know what was going to happen. I remember putting the physical CD singles into envelopes to mail out to radio with my mom. I got to go on radio tour. And you hear tour, you think tour bus? No. Rental car. Taurus. Me. In the back seat.
Hi, baby.
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I brought you cookies.
Sure did. Look at that.
Going from radio station to radio station to radio station, and every time I would go into a new radio station, I would play in the conference room for a couple of DJs, and I would like beg them to put me on the air. And it worked. My album sold 39,000 in the first week, and then over time it started to sell like this. Then something really crazy started to happen. I was opening up for every single country headliner imaginable. I was opening up for Brad Paisley, George Strait, Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw, like all these people I'd always wanted to open up shows for. I was a nervous wreck. I'd rehearsed nonstop over and over again, but I loved it. Those were some of my favorite times. For this song, I would love it if you would have your cell phones and glow sticks or anything sparkly that you might have. Hold them up for me. And I would love it if you would sing along with this song. Because this is the first song that you ever heard from me.
Truck
had a tendency of getting stuck backwards. Now and now, right beside him all summer long. And then the time we woke up to find that summer gone. But when you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song. When we dance to you think that little black dress, thinking my head on your chest, and my old faded blue jeans. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me. September saw my cold tears, and thanking God that you weren't here.
Such a cool energy walking through that crowd. People are crying, and I love excitable people, so it was one of my favorite things. I hug a lot of people over the course of that song. Show a lot of extra love to the little kids that I know are there for their first concert. It was really important for me to go out there and actually say hi to people and thank them for coming and be right there next to them, because I'm always going to want to go the extra mile for them, because I can't believe the extra 1,000 miles they've gone for me. Every single night. Thinking of me.
your stars to shine at night. I said that's a lie.
Absolutely. I just loved school. And I'm so glad that I got to go to high school. All the kids were so nice. I wasn't weird for the first time. Woo! They didn't really think much of it, that I wanted to be a singer. On the first day of ninth grade, walking into high school, first class that I went to, I sat next to this girl. She had red hair, and we became friends immediately, just because I think we were the most cynical people in English class.
We just kind of understood each other, and we were bitter about the same things. We were happy about the same things. We had the same goals, and we really hit it off.
She became the person that I would play all my songs for after I'd written them.
I truly, truly appreciate those moments when she wants to play something new for me. That's my favorite time to witness her doing what she loves, is when she's just raw.
I would go over to her house, like, and we'd sit in her room and I'd play it for her. She was like a huge cheerleader.
I'll compliment her to no end, and she acts just so shocked. And she'll just look at me and be like, really? Thank you. Thank you so much. She's just so grateful.
I wanted to write a song about what both of us went through. Abigail and I were 15. We were freshmen in high school. And, you know, you're just navigating this huge world.
Being 15, 16, those are some of the hardest years as a girl. I mean, that's when you're developing and trying to figure out who you are. And
you're the tiniest little minnow in this huge ocean that is high school. And you learn lessons. You learn a lot of them the hard way.
Take a deep breath and you walk through the doors. It's the morning of your very first day. Say hi to your friends you ain't seen in a while. Try and stay out of everybody's way. It's a freshman year and you're gonna be here for the next 4 years and this. At you and say, you know I haven't seen your eyes before. 'Cause when you're 15, somebody tells you they love you, you gonna believe them. And when you're 15, feeling like there's nothing.
Played Abigail the song for the first time. It was just a guitar vocal. She was just blown away.
I couldn't believe it, and it was very touching, and it still is to this day.
The
It's a very personal story of hers that gets told in that song. It's really raw and real.
Everybody asks me, does that make you uncomfortable? And not in the least, because looking around in the audience and seeing people relating to the song, that's all I ask for. Something that I've experienced, and what better than to put in a song and share with millions of people.
It was one of my favorite things about that song is that she's so proud that maybe her story can help other girls to make the right decisions. You know, like the song says, just look before you fall. Songs on my first record have little hints of high school inspiration. You have the song You Belong With Me, which is about, you know, feeling inferior to the coolest girl in school because she's a cheerleader and she's awesome, and you're just like, hey, you know? I mean, for me, like, I think that I learned so much from just sitting there and feeling everything in high school. And Teardrops on My Guitar, which is a complete confessional that you're in love with someone. Once upon a time, there was this guy. And I was like, talking about this guy in school, and let's just write the name into the song. And this guy sit next to me in class. I started naming people in my songs when I started to, you know, have bigger crushes on people.
I was like, you need to walk up to him right now and let him know how you feel, who you are.
Okay, confession. I had the biggest crush on this guy. And, well, he didn't even know I existed. But every day, just like clockwork, this guy would come into class. And every day, just like clockwork, this guy would sit down next to me. And sometimes, he would even talk to me. About his girlfriend. So I never told this guy that I liked him.
But I did write a song about him. So I think he knows now.
With Drew, everybody knew who that one was about.
He won't see that I want and I'll meet everything that we should be. Ah, but she's beautiful, that girl he talks about. And she's got everything that I have to live without.
I couldn't believe it. This was the first time I'd ever seen her go this personal with a song. Driveway like a year and a half later. I don't know. Sometimes it gets awkward.
Yeah, that was really awkward. I think she was shocked.
We were like, wow, who thought that was gonna happen?
So I drive on the line as I turn out the light. I'll put his picture down and maybe get some sleep tonight.
Releasing a new album, you just go nuts with your schedule. You just go crazy.
Craziest week of my life.
When it was time for the Fearless album to be released,
we both looked at each other and realized that she just was living her dream.
Crazy, like we literally woke up at 4:45 and then got up hair and makeup for Good Morning America and went to Good Morning America, sound check, did all the performances for that, did the interview for that. And then left and went to MTV. I did like all these news interviews and stuff.
Trisha, I love you, and I just
wanted
to say happy birthday.
And then went to WPLJ.
Taylor Swift.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. This is awesome. My new album, Fearless, is out today, and I'm so excited.
And after that, we went to David Letterman, and that's the first time I've ever played there, so it was really cool.
Taylor!
Taylor! Taylor!
I was so excited about Letterman. It was such a fun show, and it was fun playing Fearless Acoustic. Now I am on a plane, and I'm about to go home, and I'm going to go buy my CD. At midnight of my album being released, I was at the Hendersonville Walmart.
11:59, and we're going to go buy the album, and I'm really excited.
And there were a bunch of people there, and we all just were so excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much.
And they were all buying the album, and I was buying the album.
You did a great job.
We worked really hard on this.
Yep. Good job.
And it's real.
It's just, it's crazy to think that, you know, I have a CD out in all these stores and that a bunch of people would show up and buy the album with me. It was a really fun experience. I won't forget it.
But I love you so much. Thank you for being here, for me buying my second CD first. Midnight, I love you.
Now I finally am not... I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm on a plane. This day is over, and it has been the longest day ever. When the Fearless album came out, it sold 596,000 in the first week. And I was really happy about that. Considering the first record, I was like freaking out about selling 39,000 in the first week. Selling 596,000 in the first week was quite an improvement.
Taylor Swift's Journey to Fearless.
I could never have imagined how those 13 songs would change my life.
Taylor's drive and determination pays off as Fearless becomes the top-selling album 2 years straight.
Wow. Who thought that was going to happen?
You know, people will ask me, like, when did you know, that she had made it?
2009 was a pretty good start.
And only the Entertainer of the Year nominees are Kenny Chesney.
That was a good year. And then won Grammy for Album of the Year when I was 20.
Watch as Taylor Swift transforms her Fearless album into her first headlining tour.
This comes out during Love Story, and it's going to be projected where these look like castles.
Welcome to the Fearless Tour 2010.
She was the youngest person ever to win a Grammy for Album of the Year.
Building the dream as Taylor takes us on her journey to Fearless.
I can't help myself.
A fairy tale, you were the prince. I used to be a damsel in distress. You took me by the hand, then you picked me up at six. Your day was a fairy tale.
Fascinating in life. I love costume changes. I love sparkles. I love glitter. I love the element of surprise. Those are all things that I wanted to bring together and put on that stage. I had been dreaming about doing my first headlining tour, I think, since I was 4 years old. The stage for the Fearless Tour was something that I spent a lot of time designing with Jonathan Smeaton, my stage designer. I wanted the stage to be part of the picture and part of the visual, not just something we were standing on. My stage was built in a warehouse in Nashville, and pulling up to see it for the first time felt kind of like being dropped off on the first day of school.
So excited.
I was a nervous wreck.
Nobody's seen anything, right?
I had always wanted to put together a show that incorporated theater and storytelling and the songwriting and what I saw in my head when I was writing these songs.
I'm actually nervous.
You too?
I have, like, butterflies in my
head. We did the best we could.
Okay. That's the end of the year. Yeah, that's fine.
That's not big deal.
Yeah, that's like what it's fine. It's good. I walked in and saw it.
What?
That's huge.
Are you even
this
serious?
This is giant. And it was glorious.
That is so rocking.
When Taylor first laid eyes on that stage for the first time, it was like opening a present Christmas morning, the biggest present she's ever had.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
Did the lift work?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. You want to go up? Yeah.
Do you guys want to do the lift? It was this pristine, sparkling white stage with staircases and all these different shapes, and you could project
different visuals onto the stage. This comes out during Love Story, and it's going to be projected where these look like castles, right? And so we've been able to turn this whole thing into a story.
Yeah, I like it.
Me too. All right, it's good.
Happy? Sick?
Yes. I don't think that I ever expected I would be on a big stage like this when I started out.
This is pretty giant.
I could fall off of this and die, which is awesome.
Like to take you back in time. I wanted the dancers on this tour because, not because I really wanted too much choreography or because I wanted this to be like a dance show. I wanted this to be a show where I could tell a story using other people.
Come on, guys.
I'm really excited. Today we auditioned the dancers. We decided that we wanted to make the audition an open call for anyone so that anybody could audition.
Just for a minute, if we can get everybody to line up over here, let's put the guys over here.
There were 3 days of auditions for the dancers.
First thing we're doing is the choreography from Love Story, the music video. That'll be the first thing we do.
Right now, we're about to go check out the dancers. They're all at callbacks, and we have to pick 6, 3 guys and 3 girls. And I'm really excited.
Like, really think about that. There's no country artist. This is huge. This is really big that she's bringing dancers on tour. Taylor's pushing the envelope here, like big time pushing the envelope, and I think that's amazing. You're going to check across from each other, touching each other's wrists. Yeah? Walk, walk, triple step throughout this whole dance. Cool, super easy. That's the timing. Quick, quick, slow. Quick, quick, slow. Quick, quick, slow.
Hey!
So why don't we go ahead and just get started? So we'll get everybody back there.
Ready? And...
Cool. Everybody else, step to that side.
Auditioning the dancers, we all just kind of had a vibe about a few of them right off the bat. We are about to bring the dancers in, and they know that they've got the job. They just think they're going to get another call back. So we're going to just kind of welcome.
welcome them onto the tour for the summer. I'm excited.
I just wanted to say welcome to the tour. Thank you so much for coming. We cannot
Second, Ma. Someone wants to talk to you.
Hey. I just wanted to say hi. I'm Taylor. I'm taking your son on tour this summer.
I'm officially on tour with Taylor Swift.
I will see you guys on the road.
With the dancers ready, it was time for the Fearless Tour rehearsals to begin. Rehearsing for the Fearless Tour took about a month. Rehearsal is really important because you're working on blocking, wardrobe, audio. It's kind of like tour boot camp.
When I went like that, like white confetti from the ceiling, like the treatment to this song is like I'm marrying the wrong guy.
You guys want to do this?
During rehearsal, you really get a chance to iron out all the kinks. Like, for example, the smoke machine.
Sort of a volcanic eruption up here. And I messed up the piano in a gorgeous, heinous way. So.
There's nothing better than watching hard work pay off. Tour to hit the road.
Putting together a tour, you're providing jobs for about 150 people. You've got those people touring with you, setting up catering, driving trucks, driving buses, the band, the dancers, the crew, everybody who builds that stage, puts it together, the carpenters, wardrobe. You have people in the production office, people who work with the promoters.